Robert Schwartz, president of Labor and Economics Associates, a consulting firm in Ann Arbor. He's also a former General Motors director of labor relations, and currently he's in a classroom at Wayne State University where he also teaches. Welcome to the program, Art.
Thank you.
So you've been involved in this process firsthand. It's certainly a lengthy one. How does this typically unfold then? Do most of the difficult decisions need the pressure of a deadline to be made?
Yeah, that's the way it works. Really, the tough stuff comes down to the end and is usually handled by the people at the top. The subcommittees get rid of the basic stuff and things like pay increases, lump sums, major changes, things like that usually are saved till the end, and they go to the chief bargainer for the union and the company.
Now, the negotiations with Chrysler, GM, and Ford are all unique. Let's begin with Chrysler. What are the terms that are likely to come out of those negotiations?
Well, Chrysler and GM, you know, had a near-death experience in 2009, so they're treated a little bit differently than Ford. Everyone is worried about economics. Everybody wants to be competitive with the transplants. My understanding is that Chrysler is focused a little more on health care than the other two, but I don't know what the particulars are. But everybody is going to be focused on what the overall cost is and how competitive they're going to be with the Toyotas, Hondas, Nissans of the world.
As you said, Ford is in a different situation than GM and Chrysler, of having avoided the government bailout, and itself is doing very well. How are those talks likely to end up at Ford?
Well, I think the one problem the UAW has is that the expectations of the Ford rank and file are probably a little higher than the GM and Chrysler. You know, they voted down the second contract in 2009, so they're probably expecting a little bit more, which is one of the reasons I think they're hanging back a little bit and will go after GM and Chrysler have settled.
There's been a lot of talk about the two-tiered system with new hires coming in at about half the pay of those already there. The UAW wants to raise the rate of pay for new hires. Is that likely to happen?
I could see that happening. I don't think it's going to be a gigantic raise, but I could see an increase, a small increase for the second tier. I mean, the whole purpose of the second tier wage was to bring work in, to bring more jobs in. And this was bargained in 07 before the bankruptcy. And it's accomplished its feat at General Motors by Lake Orion producing a product that was originally going to be built in Mexico. And so we've got jobs that are in Lake Orion that would not have been there otherwise. So you don't want to raise it too much because you want these jobs to be brought in, number one. And number two, you'd like the blended overall rate to be more competitive with the transplants.
The UAW says they want wages for new hires to provide them with a middle-class standard of living. Would you say that that's what it does at this point?
Well, it really doesn't, because at $14-$15 an hour, you're looking at about $30,000 a year against the tier one, which is more like $55,000-$60,000, which is the middle class standard. Now, it is possible over time that some of these people in second tier could get to first tier, at least in wages. Their benefits would remain the same. But nothing's going to happen until 2015 because, at least in GM and Chrysler, everyone hired between now and 2015 is second tier. And then you kind of do a reckoning. Where at Ford, they've got a percentage, I believe it's 20%, they can go to, and they're nowhere near that right now. So pretty much all the hires are going to be second tier going forward.
I'm talking to Art Schwartz. He's the president of Labor and Economics Associates, a consulting firm in Ann Arbor. He's also the former general director of labor relations at GM. Art, what kind of a profit-sharing deal do you expect the union to walk away from, from this negotiations?
Well, the current profit-sharing formula actually is pretty rich. They got nice payments in the spring. I think 42 or 300 at GM, 5,000 at Ford, and 750 at Chrysler. The companies make money. The current formula pays out very well. Now, there's been some talk about including quality, productivity, the attendance, a variety of other things, which are a lot more complicated to put in the formula. I wouldn't be surprised if there was the current formula held, because it does pay very well, with maybe a little bit of an add-on, or maybe some guaranteed minimum, much lower, of course, mm-hmm. year to year.
How much money is the typical hourly worker then going to be getting annually then?
Well, I told you, at GM, with the profits they made last year, they got $4,200 or $4,300. Certainly Chrysler and Ford have paid up to, I think, $8,000 in the past, in profit sharing. And given that there are fewer people and the companies are more profitable in the United States than they used to be, the profit sharing payouts could be quite significant.
Would you say the automakers are on sure footing at this point and the comeback is likely to continue steadily?
Well, I would like to think so, since I rely on the pension fund at General Motors. I think they're in pretty good shape. The break-even point is much lower than it was before. The companies are able to make money at a much lower industry volume. The retiree health care, which was a huge fixed cost, is now part of the VEBA. And General Motors and Chrysler have pretty much done away with their debt, and Ford is working to try and do away with its debt. So right now, despite what Wall Street might say, the companies appear to be on pretty good footing.
And when it comes to future hiring, what's your sense of opportunities coming up for, at least here in Michigan, when it comes to the big three automakers?
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on the market. The market, for the second half of the year, you get a lot of people thinking it's softening a little bit, and you may not get the kind of volume. They're not going to hire people unless they're sure that the volume is going to stay. So the forecast over the next couple years would tell you that they're going to be hiring people. How many, I don't know, but mm-hmm. some of them will be in Michigan for sure.
And this electrical and hybrid car build-out, I know GM and Ford have got some big plans when it comes to these types of vehicles. Do you think they'll be a significant part of the workforce here in Michigan?
Well, it's hard to say, because the hybrid and electric vehicles, they don't really employ a lot of people. Right now, Volt sales are not the dominant vehicle at Hamtramck, and the battery plants tend to be, rather relatively low employment. So it's going to have to pick up quite a bit. I mean, there'll be some in there, but I don't really think the hybrid and electric are going to be the job saviors that some people think.
I see. What do you anticipate is going to be driving the market in the next coming years then, when it comes to the vehicles that the big three are going to be rolling out?
Well, clearly the price of gas is a big deal, and the fuel economy. Americans like their big trucks. They really get out of their trucks grudgingly. As the price of gas goes up, eventually they grudgingly come out of their trucks. But again, the big trucks even get much better gas mileage than they used to get. The whole fleet is getting better gas mileage. So as we improve that, I think that's going to have an effect too. But again, the price of gasoline, the price of vehicles, and the mileage are going to be big things.
Finally, what happens with this deadline coming up? If it is missed, are there any particular consequences for workers or the automakers?
Well, I never expected the contract to be settled before the deadline. Even what I read in the paper that they might. There's no percentage for the union to do that. They usually battle right down to the end and try and get everything they can. So why would they end early? If they can't settle at the end, they can extend the contract. I wouldn't be surprised if the contract got extended a couple of days, but I would expect you would see a settlement at GM or Chrysler by the end of the week.
Art Schwartz, president of Labor and Economics Associates, a consulting firm in Ann Arbor. He's also the former general director of labor relations at General Motors. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.